This week, Time magazine gave its Athlete of the Year award to the U.S. women's soccer team.
For the fourth time, the United States of America are crowned champions of the world, and for the very first time, they've done it on European soil.
The American women won their fourth World Cup in France this past summer, beating the Netherlands in the final. One of the stars of that World Cup winning team has been singled out for a special honor. Sports Illustrated has named Megan Rapinoe as its Sports Person of the Year. Mike Pesca is here and now sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast The Gist at Slate.com. Hi, Mike.
I thought you were going to call me the Sports Analyst of the Year. I'll take it.
You just did, and I'll reiterate it. The honor for the team seems to be about a lot more, though, than what happened on the pitch. What do you think it's about?
Yes, it's about what they stand for, and it's about how captivating they were and how much they captivated America based not only on their play and their personalities, which were big, but on their message of equal pay, their message of the message to little girls being able to kind of do anything that little boys do, and the fact that they do not back down from opponents on the pitch or off.
So if that is embodied in one person, one would think it would be Megan Rapinoe. Certainly the voters did. What is it about Megan Rapinoe that especially stood out?
Well, you could argue that she's not even the best player on the U.S. women's national team, although she was great and she won the Golden Boot as the best player in the World Cup. But, you know, Alex Morgan is great and Tobin Heath is great. But she's one of the captains of the team. She's the moral center of the team. She has her teammates back. And when they want to make a point beyond just winning in a game, she's the one that they rely on. She's extremely articulate. I think she'd make an excellent politician because she has this habit of not just striking out against enemies, but pulling in some would-be adversaries. She kind of, in her speech in City Hall after the U.S. women's team got the keys to the city, she was there on stage with her contractual adversary, the head of the U.S. Soccer Federation, and she kind of extended an olive branch and said, you know, I believe that you're going to do the right thing. And to me, sitting there in that political setting, it was an example of politics being done on a public stage by someone you wouldn't expect to be a politician. It was really, yeah, I thought it was really effective, actually, tactically.
If she were to become a politician, as you say, you think she should, she probably wouldn't get Donald Trump's vote because she said even before the team won the World Cup that she would not visit the White House to be honored by the president. And that, of course, sparked a reaction from President Trump, who said in a tweet that she can't exactly quote what he said, but she is certainly not the first athlete to spar with him on social media. What do you make of that aspect of
it? Yeah, she actually said, we will not effing be going to the White House. And he came back with, after so much that this country has done for you, you're disrespecting the flag. And a great thing about Rapinoe is, and she has said this, these comments were made before the World Cup. They surfaced. Trump reacted. Rapinoe stood by them. And then afterwards in her tour with the media, I think she was very articulate in saying why not only her, but no one on the team had any interest in going to the White House. But she didn't let it drag her down. I think she used the platform to make points that were in many ways more articulate than the president. And the other thing is, unlike some of the athletes that the president has picked a fight with, Rapinoe's this super patriot. She loves America. She stands for the anthem. She puts her hands on her heart. But she also speaks honestly in saying we're a great country. There's a lot of great things about America. But we're also a country that was founded on slavery. So she is not a cartoon. And the president entangling with her, I don't think, got any mileage out of it. And that's in contrast to some of the fights that the president has picked with, say, football players who don't stand for the national anthem.
During the games in France, fans chanted equal pay, equal pay. And the American women sued their bosses for gender discrimination. Could you tell us the status of the complaint that they're not paid as much as U.S. men's soccer?
So right now, legally, they have been certified, the U.S. women's national team have been certified as a class to represent in a class action in that lawsuit, unless there are negotiations, as there often are. That lawsuit will go forward and be heard in May. The U.S. men's national team is supporting the women in this lawsuit. The head of the U.S. Soccer Federation has statistics which show that they have been given equal pay if you look at certain specific time frames, maybe starting from 2010 to 2018, the women's national team can come back with some other statistics saying that, well, first of all, we do win the World Cup and the men don't even qualify. So if you're saying we're paid the same, we have been achieving a lot more. But secondly, you know, for X number of wins, we'd be paid 38% less. There's a lot of way to parse the numbers. And I don't think this is necessarily a slam dunk. They have a lot of sentiment on their side. But just as a factual matter, I think that there are a lot of arguments that the U.S. Federation can make about how much they pay, for instance, the women to play in the professional league. They are subsidized by the U.S. Soccer Federation and the men aren't. So there are plausible arguments there. But in terms of sentiment, my gosh, do the U.S. women, I've never heard a term from a labor dispute being chanted around a stadium on an international stage. That is something.
We're going to have Megan Rapinoe on the show tomorrow, by the way. Thank you, Mike Pesca.